tuning into
It's a Trap!
All things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. And I am your host, DJ Stellar. Hello, friends. Oh, it just ends right there. Hello! I am your host, DJ Stellar, and you are listening to It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars, right here on radio.dominican.edu. Hope you all are doing marvelous today. Just stellar. That's what I hope for you. We are back from spring break here at Dominican, and man, oh man, are we psyched about it, let me tell you. Wow, here we are. It is March 15th, it's already the middle of the month, and we back, baby. Let's go. So this week we are going to be talking about Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Last week, if you can't math, we talked about Star Wars Episode 3. Funny how it works like that. Anyway, let's jump right into it, shall we? So here it is. Star Wars Episode 4 had a budget of $11 million. And I feel like that's a lot of money, and so I looked it up, and you could actually get $1,375,000 Chipotle burritos with that kind of money. So, I don't know. I mean, Star Wars is dope, so I'm completely into it, but so is Chipotle, so I don't know. That's just something to keep in mind, because Chipotle is a big deal, but you know, I guess Star Wars is more important in the long run. So it made $35 million in the opening weekend, and overall it grossed $300 million. So that's a lot of dollars, and it's actually the first movie of its time to make over $300 million. So shout out to Star Wars for killing the game as per the usual. So I want to start you off with some starcabulary as per the usual. And I only have one term for you because we're becoming Star Wars aficionados at this point. And the only one that I have for you is the Death Star. So the Death Star is the ultimate weapon of the dark side. And it's a moon-sized mobile battle station that's obviously used by the Empire. And pretty much throughout the entire Star Wars series, they talk about the Death Star. The Death Star is always coming up. It is something that the rebels are always trying to destroy, and I don't know if they ever will be successful, but they keep trying, and they have that never quit spirit that I think everybody just really admires. But anyway, yes, the Death Star is kind of the massive, like, home base of the bad guys, and they are allowed to, they kind of use it to put fear into the hearts of all of their enemies, and so on and so forth. So, with that out of the way, let us jump right in to a little bit of a recap. I always like to recap for you the episode. Wow, didn't think of any words right there. The episode, so that we all are on the same page, and we can talk about it after that. So let's do it, friends. Here we go. So pretty much, there's always an opening crawl. Everybody knows that. If you don't know there's an opening crawl to Star Wars, then you obviously haven't seen Star Wars. And that's fine. And so that happens, and pretty much, there we are. Nope. There it is. That's great. So there's a rebel ship that's trying to avoid the Empire. And they're basically doing all of their best evasive maneuvers. But the Empire ends up capturing them. The rebels and the stormtroopers. Oh, so, okay, I just kind of jumped right into that. So, stormtroopers, I think we talked about these last time we had a show. But stormtroopers are kind of like soldiers of the Empire. So, they're bad guys, obviously. And they are all just cloned replicas of each other. And they all look the same from the outside. And they're all really bad aim. If you've seen any Star Wars films, you'll know about that. Because legitimately, everything they shoot at, they miss. Blessed. So that's good news for the Imperial rebels, but, excuse me, but not much good news for Darth Vader, who's trying to kill some people. Anyway, the rebel ship gets captured by the Empire, and it gets pulled onto this massive other ship of the Empire. And then the rebels come out of the ship and are kind of trying to fight the stormtroopers, which, why are you trying to fight them on their home turf? Obviously, you're going to lose. And so, obviously, the rebels lost the fight. So, Princess Leia is on board, and she's hiding on board the rebel ship. And Darth Vader comes on, and he has his troops search the ship. So, they're all looking around. They don't really know who they're looking for or what they're looking for, per se. They just know something's not right, and they're supposed to check it out and find out what it is. So, they go on there, and if you don't remember, Princess Leia is the daughter of Darth Vader. I hope that's not a spoiler. I've seen this so many times that I just don't even know it's a spoiler anymore. But it's his daughter, and she obviously doesn't know that it's her dad. And obviously, if she doesn't know, the stormtroopers don't know. So she's just hiding from him. He's looking for her, or for whatever he can find, rather. C-3PO and R2-D2 meet up, and they find Princess Leia. And she's like, oh, guys, what's good? Let's hang out sometime. And she goes, now, pause. The reason that Darth Vader is looking for Leia is because she has some plans to a secret rebel base that's going to be created in the near future. So he's trying to cop those plans one time for the underdogs and keep the rebels from actually making their base. So she, again, C-3PO and R2-D2 find her. Leia puts the rebel base plans inside of R2-D2 and also a holographic message. So she sends out this message to Obi-Wan Kenobi saying that she needs help and he's her only hope. Thus the name A New Hope. Clever. Clever. So then she sends C-3PO and R2-D2 out on an escape pod. Now some stormtroopers notice that there's an escape pod that has been ejected. And they're like, bro, we should totally follow it. But then they realize that there was no life detected on board. So they thought it was just a faulty escape pod flying out for no reason. So they're like, well, actually, let's just not. So holla holla, the droids escape. And Princess Leia is found then on board, and she's taken to Vader. And she tells him she doesn't know anything about Imperial plans. What would you take me for, Darth Vader? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, which is weird for a woman to say. What? Then the Empire tells the Senate that Princess Leia is dead so that they don't know that she's actually being held captive. And then, because then the Senate would feel bad for the rebels. So pretty much they're like, let's just cut our losses here. Let's just say she's dead, because that'll be way better than actually telling them that we're holding her as ransom. So then Vader realizes that the plans were in the escape pod with R2-D2 and C-3PO, and sends some stormtroopers after them to... How do you even kill a droid? I don't, like, is that a thing? I guess you could just... Yeah, I guess you could blow it up. That usually kills things. Anyway, he sends the troopers after them. R2-D2 and C-3PO land on this desert island, though. Not island. Desert planet. And they get into a little fight. Like a little lover's quarrel. And they get separated. And then they both get captured by scavengers that are called Jawas. Now, these guys are a little sketchy. They capture droids and then they sell them, or they kind of deactivate them and then take their parts from the droids, and they sell those separately so they can make bank. So the Jawas are really creepy and dirty and gross, and they capture both R2-D2 and C-3PO. And then they are traveling down on, you know, their selling path, as they do. And who wants to buy C-3PO for translation but Owen Lars? Holla at ya, boy. He was gonna buy C-3PO, but then C-3PO was very expensive because he's fluent in over 6 million forms of communication. So he ends up buying a cheaper droid that breaks before the Jawas have even left their selling station. So that's dope. And so then the Jawas decide to give R2-D2 as a replacement to Owen, to be like, yo, yo, don't give us a bad name. We just found a faulty droid. That's not our fault. So then Owen takes R2-D2 instead. Oh, sidebar, if you don't remember from episode 3, Owen Lars is Luke's uncle. So Luke obviously, well not obviously, but Luke is living with Owen at this point because he obviously doesn't have a dad at this point in the movie. So the Jawas give R2-D2 as a replacement, and Luke is Owen's nephew, and he cleans up R2-D2. And as he's cleaning him up, he finds this message that Leia had put in, and he is just completely captured by her beauty, because who wouldn't be into those large buns on the side of the head? So he feels like he needs to help her, and he gets all engaged in whatever she's feeling, and whatever she's dealing with. And so then Luke gets called into dinner, and he tells his aunt and uncle about the droid. And he thinks that the droid belongs to Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then Owen and his wife kind of put together that they know who Obi-Wan Kenobi is, obviously, because Obi-Wan gave Luke to them in the first place. But they kind of put it together for Luke that it's Ben Kenobi, who's the hermit, this hermit that lives on the same planet as them. And they're kind of just saying, like, no, Luke, like, you don't really need to look into this. This isn't really that big of a deal. I'm sure this is not Ben Kenobi. They're kind of trying to keep him from exploring this any further. Owen acts really suspicious, but, like, he claims to not know anything about it. So he's just kind of alluding to the fact that Ben Kenobi might actually know something about Luke's father. And that just really sparks Luke's interest even more, because the guy doesn't have a dad. Of course he wants to know about his dad. What a stupid thing to say, Owen. That's on you. So R2-D2 escapes from Luke while they're at dinner, and he goes to find Obi-Wan. And then he gets captured by Tusken Raiders. And Luke's like, dude, C-3PO, if Owen finds out that I lost his free droid, he's going to be heated. He's going to be so upset. So C-3PO and Luke take off in his speeder secretly to find R2-D2. And as they find him, the Tusken Raiders ambush C-3PO and Luke, and they knock Luke out. And C-3PO falls down a hill, and R2-D2 hides. So then we got two droids just laying there helpless, and Luke with the life knocked out of him also. So that little road trip turned around real quick one time. So they take a lot of things from Luke's speeder, parts that they can sell, because everybody's down to sell stuff, I guess. And, yeah, they take things from Luke, and they speed away. Oh, no, they get scared away by these loud noises. They think there's some massive animal coming after them to find them. But who is it but Obi-Wan? Holla holla. He appears out of nowhere, and he's checking on Luke. And they go to rescue C-3PO, and then they all head back to Obi-Wan's bachelor pad. And then Obi-Wan tells Luke that he knew his dad, and he gives Luke Anakin's lightsaber. So as if it wasn't enough that Obi-Wan knew his dad, he's like, here, bro, here's a lightsaber that your dad used. In fact, we fought each other with it, so that's sick. He tells him about the Force and the dark side and all the things related to that. And he tells about how his dad was one of the best Jedi ever. He was the coolest. And then he turned to the dark side and he was not the coolest anymore. And R2-D2 then relays Princess Leia's message to Obi-Wan. Now, Obi-Wan's like, bro, I'm too old for this. I can't be going on this mission by myself. I'm just an old man and I need help. So Luke kind of is like, okay, like, I can go with you. But he has some, it's obvious that he has, like, a lot of reservations because he has his family at home and he has things that he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be working on his uncle's moisture farm and all this stuff. So I feel like Luke's just really kind of conflicted at this point. So what happens after that? Where are we? I don't even know where we are at this point. Obi-Wan takes them to Anchorhead to find a ride, and they are just kind of wandering around for a little bit. Vader then goes back to trying to coax information out of Princess Leia, but her lips are just completely sealed. She's not talking about anything to anybody. I feel like if I was in this situation, I don't know, dude, I'd probably cave for some Chipotle or just offer me any kind of food or chocolate milk substance, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, the rebels are trying to build this here, so I wouldn't have had the mental stamina of Princess Leia, but that's fine, that's why I'm not her, right? So then Darth Vader is using the Death Star that we mentioned before to kind of threaten Leia, and he's like, if you don't tell me, I'm gonna blow up your home planet, and that's all I can say about that. So after that, Luke, we're going back to Luke and Obi-Wan now. They find that stormtroopers attacked and killed the Jawas, and Luke kind of puts it together in his head really quick that they were looking for the droids that were staying at his house. So the stormtroopers were sent by Darth Vader to find R2-D2 and C-3PO, and if they found the Jawas that were selling the pieces, then they for sure have to know that the droids were at one point at Owen's house and at Luke's old house. So Luke races home because he realizes that the stormtroopers are probably there, and Obi-Wan was saying, like, don't do it, don't go, it's not going to be good, there's nothing you can do about it, just let it be. Luke's very hot-headed and kind of just chases after his feelings anyway. So he races home to find his aunt and uncle dead, and he's not too stoked about it. He then returns to Obi-Wan and asks Obi-Wan to let Luke become Obi-Wan's apprentice. So then Obi-Wan's like, dope, bro, we're gonna train you and you're gonna be the coolest Jedi ever. So then they go to Mos Eisley, and they go to a cantina there, and this is funny because this is where Anakin was doing his pod race. So we're just tying it all in here. And that's where they meet the smuggler, Han Solo, and Chewie. Man, those dogs. We're going to talk about them more later, so get ready. So anyway, they're smugglers, like I said, and they say, Han's like, yeah, for like 10,000 credits, I can help you avoid the Empire. And then Ben Kenobi's like, well, we don't have 10,000 right now, but we have 2,000. And we can give you 17,000 if you get us safely to where we're trying to go. And he's like, yeah, I could do that. So then Han is packing everything up. Han and Chewie are getting ready to depart. And Han is approached by Jabba the Hutt. And Jabba's just a nasty, big-looking, like, slug dude with massive eyes and stuff dripping out of his mouth constantly. So that's disgusting. And Jabba kind of reminds Han that he has all these debts to pay to him. And Han pretty much is just like, dude, I'm going to get you the money. I just need more time, right? I have the money. I just need time. So at that point, he's kind of basing his debts getting paid on Ben Kenobi and Luke's sum being paid to him. So then Luke sells his little speeder that he loves to pay the $2,000 credit, or the $2,000 credits to Han Solo. And at this point, the Imperial troops are really catching up because Vader sent them out a long time ago, and they should be catching up at this point. So the stormtroopers then make it into the loading dock right as the Millennium Falcon is taking off, and they're shooting at each other, but like I said before, stormtroopers just miss their targets every time, so that sucks. So now go back to Leia. Oh, the Millennium Falcon gets out, okay. Just have peace about that. Leia, we're back with her. She's getting tortured, and they're trying to get the plans out of her. They are saying, okay, if you just tell us where the Rebel base is going to be at, we won't destroy your home planet. There you go. And so she goes, all right, bro. Well, they're making their Rebel base in Dantooine, or however you say it, Dantooine, I think. And then they're like, ha, we got it. And they destroy her home planet anyway. So that wasn't the coolest deal they've ever made. So she's not psyched. They're not psyched either, because they quickly find out that she lied to them about where the Rebel base was going to be, because there used to be a Rebel base there, but there's not one anymore. So now we're back with Obi-Wan and Luke, and Obi-Wan is training Luke to become a Jedi while they're on board the Millennium Falcon. What better place and what better time than now, am I right? Vader then orders for Leia's execution because she lied about the Rebel base's location. We're just doing a lot of jumping around right now. These scenes just really go back and forth. But anyway, Luke is then learning to sense the Force, and he's really just working on becoming a Jedi. However, they get captured by the Death Star. Not the Death Star, by the Empire. And the troopers are searching the ship, but they can't find Luke and Han and Chewie and Obi-Wan because they're all hiding. So Vader senses some kind of weird thing that he hasn't felt in a while, and he doesn't really know what to make of it. But R2-D2 realizes that Leia is trapped on board. So he goes to find her, and Luke, Han, and Chewie also decide that they should rescue her. Han's really just in it for the money, but, I mean, whatever gets him involved, right? So they end up finding her, and the troops, stormtroopers, try to stop them, but they avoid the stormtroopers by jumping into a garbage chute. And that's completely disgusting. And then the garbage chute activates, and they almost get squished in with all the nasty stuff in there, so that'd be killer, literally. And then Vader says that he knows that Obi-Wan Kenobi's on board because, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi used to be Anakin's master, so, like, of course he knows his presence. So then Luke and Han lead everybody out of the garbage chute. Luke and Leia go off in one direction. Han and Chewie go off in another direction because they all got separated. And Obi-Wan runs into Darth Vader. So that's awesome. They start having a killer lightsaber battle. And Obi-Wan holds Vader off until everybody gets on the Millennium Falcon. The four, Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewie. And obviously R2-D2 and C-3PO. And then he lets Darth Vader strike him down right in front of Luke. And that's not too cool. But he did it on purpose, and as soon he really did it on purpose because he put his lightsaber up and he just let it happen. And then his body disappears, and Darth Vader's really confused, and Luke freaks out because that's his leader, and what is he supposed to do now? But Millennium Falcon escapes, and it goes off to a new planet. Han gets paid off, and the rebels are getting ready to attack the Death Star. They do end up attacking the Death Star. This is a recurring theme throughout the movies, too. Luke ends up destroying the Death Star, and he relies on the Force to shoot just perfectly in this tiny little hole, and he gets it and destroys the thing. And then Han actually did end up coming back for the fight, so he's not just in it for the money. And then Luke, Han, and Chewie are all awarded by Princess Leia, and they have this really cool song that they play. And yeah, everybody's all cleaned up. C-3PO looks really good. R2-D2's beeping. It's all good, and that's where the movie ends, and that was really long, and I'm so sorry. But, yeah, so that is Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, and I think we're going to go to a break right now, and we'll be right back. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given, and Mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Baby, don't you know we love you, sweet. And dear mama, baby, please, no one above you, sweet. You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me. And all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Don't you know we love you, sweet. Dear mama, place no one above you, sweet. You all appreciate it. Don't you know we love you, sweet. And dear mama,
just to make my mind seem clear. impressive. Most impressive.
Yeah, welcome back. You're listening to It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, DJ Stellar, and we are here talking about Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. And it is wild, let me tell you. It is all wild. So, I want to tell you some interesting things that I found when I was researching about this movie. Oh, sounds like we're starting a movie right now. That's exciting. So, originally, the original cut of R2-D2, he actually spoke English. And they... Oh my goodness. I was just so excited to be playing right now. You're welcome. So, yeah, R2-D2 originally spoke English. And if you have not seen the films, then you will not understand what I'm even talking about. Because you're like, what does R2 speak then? And this is pretty much what R2-D2 sounds like. All the time. So he makes these little noises, and C-3PO can react to him.
How rude!
In all kinds of different ways. He's really the only one that understands what he's saying. You kind of get an idea of what R2-D2 is saying every once in a while if he chirps with a little sass or something, but they just kept C-3PO as reacting to him as if he was speaking the same language as everybody else. So that's a cute little thing. I didn't ever know that, actually, about R2-D2, that he spoke English. And something else that I found was interesting is that James Earl Jones and David Prowse, who were the voice and body of Darth Vader, never actually met, which was kind of strange to me because they're both playing the same dude. So I feel like, I feel like you should meet if you're the same guy, but apparently David Prowse was the original voice of Darth Vader, and they had him doing his thing, but they didn't like his accent that he had, and so they had James Earl Jones come in and kind of voice over, and that's obviously pretty easy because Darth Vader just has a big mask on, so you don't even have to match up the words to the mouth. And something else that I thought was funny was that after they filmed the garbage chute scene, Chewbacca's costume or suit still smelled really bad the whole time, so that was probably really fun to be around. Don't send it to a dry cleaner or use excessive bottles of Febreze on it. Just suffer through it, everybody. Ha! And something else with the garbage chute scene, Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker in the movie, obviously, held his breath in that scene for so long that he actually burst a blood vessel on his face. So from that point on, they had to only shoot from one side of his face. So shout out, Mark Hamill. You ruined it for everybody. You selfish man. But it's okay. They made it through it. And briefly, there's these couple questions that I just kept seeing everywhere that I went. And everybody has the same questions. So I'm going to answer them for you right now. The first one was, why does the body of Obi-Wan vanish when Darth Vader slashes him? And at first I was also, when you first watch it, honestly, I don't remember the first time I watched it because I grew up with Star Wars, and I've just seen them my whole life. So the first time you see it, that was kind of weird. It's like, did they mean to do that? Or what's happening here? But yeah, they're just showing that Obi-Wan is living on in the Force. So his body's gone, and obviously it was his plan to die because he looks right over at Luke and he just gives him a little wink and blows him a kiss. He doesn't do that. But he knows what's going to happen. He puts his lightsaber down. He doesn't even try to fight Darth Vader anymore. So he's living on in the Force like Qui-Gon Jinn. We'll see them again later. Don't worry about it. And yeah, so it's just kind of showing that his body and his spirit are stronger than the physical body that he's in. And then another one that I kept seeing was, why is Obi-Wan called Ben? And pretty much all I can say to that is that only Jedi called him Obi-Wan. So if you're not a Jedi, probably don't call him Obi-Wan. Probably call him Ben. He also was trying to move on from his past. Not necessarily that it was something that he wasn't proud of or didn't want to remember, just he was moving on to a new phase in his life. And again, he wasn't really known as a Jedi anymore. So why should he be called by his Jedi name? It's like if you're a kid, you always call the adults Mr. and Mrs. That's just the way it is, you know? You're not going to call them by their first name because that's weird. So anyway, those are a couple questions that I kept seeing. And with that, I want to move into some arguing against the Empire. Ta, ta, ta. So the first argument that I have for you today is, This is funny. While stormtroopers are chasing around after Leia and the group, one stormtrooper hits his head on a doorframe. Now, I've seen this so many times, and it just makes me laugh every time, because I think it, in this kind of serious and important scene where they're all chasing after each other, I think it's just a funny little blurb where the stormtrooper just makes a fool out of himself. But it turns out that it was actually an accident. They didn't script that or plan it, and the actor just couldn't see very well. The actor inside of the suit just couldn't really see. And actually, in the special edition movie, they added a sound effect to it to really just play it up. So don't shoot the scene again. Just embrace it. And I think that's so funny. So that's not really an argument. Thank you very much. Good day. The next one that I have, Han runs into a room of stormtroopers, and you can see rubber soles on Chewbacca's feet as he follows Han into the room. I got nothing for you on this one. That's just a continuity mistake, and I mean, I guess Wookiees could wear shoes. They're big and intimidating, but oh, if you've never seen a Wookiee before, oh man, I don't even know how to describe it to you. He's like a big teddy bear, but not, because there's Ewoks later on, and those are literal teddy bears and the cutest things I've ever seen in my life. But listen, go to Disneyland. I've talked about this before. I'm going to talk about it again. It's still Season of the Force there, people. And I think you've got time, because I don't think that it closes until the end of March. And so check it out, because you can meet Chewbacca there. And he's 7 feet tall, and I'm 5 feet tall. So imagine that little difference there. But he is the nicest Chewbacca I have ever met. He's so sweet, and he wants to meet everybody. And then also, if you've seen episode 7, you can check out Kylo Ren. He's in there too. 100% intimidating. Probably one of the scariest things. Well, no, Darth Vader was scarier. But he slams things around before you walk in to take a picture with him. And then it's like, do I smile in a picture with Kylo Ren? Or do I just look off into the distance? I don't know. He told my mom to be silent, though. So that was dope. Sorry, Mom. But yeah, he's a real scary guy, just real intimidating. So anyway, yeah, Wookiees probably don't wear shoes because they're 7 feet tall, and how are we going to find shoes for them? I don't know. So that was obviously just a continuity mistake. Great work, Empire. You found an argument. And finally, when Chewie gets into the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, he hits his head on a small set of dice. They aren't in any other shots or scene for the rest of the trilogy. So this is funny because this is actually just an inside joke that Lucas put in there just for funsies, and it was his favorite set of dice that he had on his car, apparently. And I don't know, I guess that the reason that it wasn't in any more shots is because they made the joke, and that's it. The joke was made. What more do you need from that at that point? So that was kind of funny. I thought that was a nice little touch that they just threw in there. Also, throughout the movie, I've never realized this, but Princess Leia and Obi-Wan never actually meet. Like, the closest that they get is being on the same ship together. So Obi-Wan is the one that she's looking for this whole movie, and then she doesn't even ever end up meeting him. So that was interesting, I thought. And so there's somebody in R2-D2. I don't know if it's that we didn't have the technology at that time, or if they just thought it would be better if R2 actually had a person in it. But Kenny Baker played R2-D2, and he would frequently get left in the suit when everybody would break for lunch. So, sucks for you, bro. But they would just forget that he was in there and head off to lunch, and everybody's happy-go-lucky. I can only imagine, like, would R2-D2 just kind of follow them around then so that he could have help getting out of the suit? Or what? Do you have R2-D2, like, following you to lunch every day? I don't know. Somebody should have that as their job, though. And this is something that a lot of people are not familiar with, but the way that R2 actually got his noises is Ben Burtt, who was the sound producer, he would make baby sounds and, like, coos and calm. Like that. Not like that at all, actually, but something similar to those sounds. And he would then just manipulate them on his computer, and that's how they got the cool chirping sounds of R2-D2. And R2-D2 is actually my text tone. Hey, get this. I'm going to just let you in on a day in the life right now for a hot second. Today, I made Star Wars Jell-O Jigglers, and they're the coolest things I've ever seen, and they taste delicious. And I also had Star Wars soup for lunch, and I also have a Star Wars tattoo. Not a real one. It's a you know, one of those ones like you get from Chuck E. Cheese, but it's on, and that's what's important. So shout out to the Star Wars franchise. You all are making bank. You're welcome. Moving on. Oh, this is so funny. C-3PO, his original voice, he was supposed to sound like a used car salesman, and they had somebody that was there to play C-3PO, and they tried it out with this whole, like, wheeler-dealer situation, and they ended up not going for it because they thought that the kind of accent that he ended up with was better for him, because not that he was, like, a snooty British guy, but more so that he was a typical butler sound, I guess. I don't really know what the thought process was on that, but they killed it with the C-3PO voice, for sure. And finally, Chewbacca was actually modeled after George Lucas's dog, Indiana. So that's cute. Also, Ben Burtt has a dog that looks just like Chewbacca, and I think that's great. So, I mean, now you know. So little secrets for you. Little information on the inside. Yeah, so we are going to go to another break, and when we get back, I'm going to give you some starter facts so that you can find your own special props from the movie if you're that into it, and some background on the characters. So stay tuned. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is It's a Trap, all things Star Wars.
If you see her, say hello. She might be in Tangier. She left here last early spring. Is living there, I hear. Said for me that I'm alright. I think I've forgotten her. Don't tell her it isn't so. We had a falling out, like lovers often will. To think of how she left that night, well, it still gives me a chill. For I know our separation, well, it pierced me through the heart. But she still lives on inside of me. We have never. Thank you. you're making love to her, kiss her for the kid who always has respected her for doing what she did. 'Cause I know it had to be that way, it was written in the cards, but that bitter taste, it lingers on. It all came down so of people as I make the rounds, and I hear a name here and there as I go from town to town, and I've never gotten used to it. I just learned to turn it off. Just get in sundown, yellow moon. I replay the past, and I know every scene by heart, but they all went by so fast. If she's passing back this way, she can look me up if she's got the time.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Stellar. This is the soundtrack from Star Wars Episode 4. And I just think this song is so funny. Just listen to this for a second. Just listen to that. Oh, man, it's great. Anyway, all right. So we are going to jump into some background on some of my favorite characters from the movie and some of the most influential in the movie, I would argue, personally. So the first one that I would like to talk about is none other but C-3PO, human-cyborg relations. Here he is. What a guy. Hey, one more fun fact about him, one time, real quick, for the underdogs. Because the suit was so restrictive, Anthony Daniels could not actually sit down in it. And you can kind of tell that when he's walking, because he walks like he's in a full body cast, so that'd be sick to walk around in all day. But when he's actually sitting down in shots, they had to just disassemble part of his suit so that he could physically sit down, because it was impossible for him to. So, man, sucks to suck, right? But anyway, so I want to talk about C-3PO just really quick. He was originally made for someone else that was not Anakin. Then Anakin found all of his parts and kind of put them together. And like I said, when we talked about Star Wars Episode 1, the greatest Star Wars film of all time. He was making C-3PO as a kind of helper to his mom, because to Anakin's mom, because Anakin's mother was a slave also, and she had to work all the time and be doing slave things all the time. And so he thought, hey, let's help a sister out, and he kind of just made him for her. But when he made C-3PO, sorry, he was open-bodied almost, so you could see all of his wires and cords, and they were all kind of sticking out a little bit. So after Anakin left the planet, his mom took it upon herself to put a little bit of some coverings over him, because they lived on a really dusty planet. And so she put some really tarnished silver metal over his body, just like some plating, so that he wouldn't get sand damage all up in there. So that was really sweet of her. But anyway, then C-3PO kind of got picked up by Anakin again, and he came back with them, and he met Padme and all this stuff, and he was kind of the helper directly to Padme. And Anakin gave C-3PO to Padme, like I said, as kind of like a wedding present when they got married. And he still had that kind of lame, tarnished silver plating for a while, and they finally covered him in gold, because, I mean, if he's working with the queen, I feel like, yeah, he should have something a little bit better to wear. But, yeah, so that was just an interesting little thing. I didn't know how he ever got his gold plating, because you see him at one point, and he's wearing he's open cords, and then you see him again, and he's all tarnished, and then you see him again, and he is covered in gold. So, holla holla, shout out to C-3PO. He's a pretty important element throughout the whole situation. He shows up in episode 7, he's got a red arm, and nobody really knows why, but that's for later times to talk about, am I right? The next character, Chewbacca. So, like I said before, Chewbacca is a 7-foot giant that kind of looks like a teddy bear, but he's a fierce fighter, let me tell you. He's best friends with Han Solo, and he's got this really cool, like, I don't want to say sash, but think of, like, Miss America with her sash, and he has that situation going on, and it's full of ammo and tools. And, yeah, so that's really the only thing that he's got wearing, and originally when the film was being made, the people making the movie were like, he needs to have clothes on. We can't just have a guy walking around without clothes on. And they were actually trying to get him to wear shorts. So the only thing that I can imagine is Chewbacca walking around with swim trunks on. And I know that, like, that's not the direction they were going, but that's all that I can think of. So thank you for not putting swim trunks on Chewbacca, because he's very intimidating without them. Anyway, I just want to tell you how he met Han Solo, because that was a big question for me. Chewbacca was captured by kind of Jawa-esque people. They weren't the Jawas, but they were people that, or creatures that captured Wookiees and then sold them into slavery. So he kind of organized a rebellion within the captured Wookiees, because generally those Wookiees wouldn't fight back when they were captured, because the people that captured them put them all in different races. So it's like if people were captured from all over the world, they would put us in different groups so that none of us could speak the same language, kind of thing, and organize a rebellion. But Chewie got up and he gave this really great speech and got them all rallied up and fired up, so they rebelled against the people that had captured them. And at that point, Han Solo was working for the people that captured Chewie, and he was ordered to go and kill Chewbacca and all the other Wookiees that had escaped. And Han was like, nah, dude, I ain't gonna do that. And then they were saying, like, oh, well, if you're not gonna do that, then I guess Chewie would make a really great slave. And Han's like, nah, dude, Chewie's a dope guy. We're gonna let him be free. So they ended up kind of, I don't want to say running away together because they weren't in love, but they kind of formed an alliance and became partners from then on. And Chewbacca and Han, man, friendship goals, that's all I'm saying. So there you go, there's a little rundown on Chewie. And finally, Princess Leia is the last woman we're looking into. And she's really cool. She's got some great hairstyles. Carrie Fisher, what a babe. She's a babe, that's all I really have to say about that. So, Princess Leia, we know, from episode 3 was obviously born from Anakin and Padme. And then she was given to some people that had a lot of political power, I'm going to say. And they had very high standing within the Senate. And she was supposed to follow her dad's, her adopted father's path in life and become one of the senators and all this stuff. But that was not what she was into at all. And she was force sensitive, so she had all these extra senses before anybody else even knew what was going on with her. And when she turned 16, she received some martial training with, like, a personal instructor. And that was right up her alley because she loved to fight. Not fight, but she loved to, like, know how to protect herself. And her dad kind of put her in that situation. Not situation. Put her in to martial training so that she would be able to protect herself. Because she was kind of a woman of status at that point. And so, thanks to her instructor, she learned to keep her mind clear and she focused on the moment all the time. And she even became an Alderaanian junior champion in steeplechase. So listen, Leia, if the whole political thing doesn't work out, refer back to steeplechase. Example A. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting that, because it's just kind of assumed that she and Padme were kind of into the same things. We don't really learn a lot about her, but we just assume that, yeah, of course she's into politics, and she's not. So there you go. I had a little background for you on a few of my favorite characters from this episode, Star Wars Episode 4. You are still listening to Dominican radio, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. And finally, I want to take you through some Startifacts, folks. These are props or cool things that I found from the film that are up for sale right now. So if you are so into it that you want to just go get a little piece of Star Wars, you absolutely can. You better believe it. So first of all, the lightsaber hilt that Obi-Wan hands to Luke was actually a camera flash tube. So you could make your own lightsaber at this point. You don't even have to buy this prop. But I just thought that was interesting that they didn't even use some kind of, you know, metal piece. They just used a camera flash tube. Like, okay, guys, that's cool. The next thing that so that wasn't really something you could buy. I just thought that was interesting. But listen to this. This is great. The next thing is a piece of the Death Star and the storyboard that actually coincides with this piece of the Death Star. So it's used in the movie, obviously, because it's a piece of it. And it's one of the smaller pieces that were made by the model makers to make the larger version of the Death Star. So they obviously had, like, a miniature version so they could blow it up and all that good stuff. But you also get part of the storyboard. And guess what? This is a steal. It's only $2,800. Oh, dope, dude. You could have your own Death Star for $2,800. Man, that's killer. So, yeah, if you're interested in that, it's framed and everything, so check that one out. Next one's on Amazon. This is a Darth Vader helmet. And guess who it's signed by? David Prowse. Holla. Now, this one actually is a steal, and it has free shipping. $600 for a legit Darth Vader helmet. And you get a picture of David Prowse signing it, so it's like you were there, pretty much. Oh, and look, if you buy it now, the estimated delivery date is March 21st through 24th. Blessings. So, yeah, $600, you can have your own Darth Vader helmet. Finally, this is kind of, this is interesting. I don't really understand what's happening with this one, if we're being honest. But this is a bone that was found on the desert planet that R2-D2 and C-3PO landed on when they were originally avoiding the Empire. And this is going for $800, and it's literally a piece of the chipped bone. And it's just a part of the big skeleton, and C-3PO is passing it on in Tatooine, which is the desert planet. And apparently it was like an artificial skeleton that was left in the desert after filming, and guess what? It's still there. So if you ever find yourself in Tunisia, just check it out one time. And yeah, you'll be able to see the skeleton. So perfect. If you're ever vacationing over there, just stop by, say hi, see what's up. So that about concludes the time that we have this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're all babes and animals and you're great and keep being great and wonderful. And tune in next week on radio.dominican.edu, Tuesdays 4 to 5. It's a trap, baby, all things Star Wars. Have a stellar day.
This has been It's a Trap, all things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. It's Totes Def, the coolest Star Wars radio show in the entire galaxy.
I mean, come on, it's probably not the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy, but I'll take it.
I'm certain it's the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy.
All right, thanks. So who even is this guy? What's that? Who is this?
I am the Father.